This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
If you want to shatter the backboard of education,
yes.
This is where it happens.
You can do it.
Seen a grasshopper take down an antelope on Nat Geo.
He want to know what planet did it his way.
Why is it always a crazy uncle?
I did it my way.
Well, let the insanity commence. Actually, it's insanity and sanity. We do it in a crazy way, but this here is a place of learning. We expect a sober attitude towards that endeavor. And to help me keep this show sober in the direction of learning, J.J. Jasper, Walker Wildman. Good morning, guys.
What an opening.
Yes.
Did you have to prepare that?
I didn't. I just thought about it.
Man, this is going to be a good show.
Yes. So let's keep it sober, guys.
Absolutely.
Let's remember that learning is an important process. And it's really something that should be done in a sober fashion without any of that there mischief. Oh, I'm just kidding, folks. It's Trivia Friday. We get pretty trivial about knowledge. And this here show is also called
Learning University.
Learning University. We are coming right at you. If you want to call and get on the program, 888-589-8840. Folks are already lining up, 888-589-8840. And the way the show works is that each of us three professors will ask three questions each. Quick, Walker, without thinking, how many does that mean total?
Nine
questions. There you go. See, people are already learning. And we will ask three questions. We invite you to call in. You can answer those and or ask us one of your own.
Yeah, and then we've got a mystery question. One of these original nine will be a mystery question. If you answer correctly, you'll hear this sound. And that means you will win yourself a Learning University t-shirt. Those of you that are watching live on Facebook, we're holding these up. Very attractive. And if you don't win one this morning, you can purchase this where, Walker?
AFAstore.net, AFAstore.net. .net, you can purchase the Trivia Friday t-shirt, I believe $15.
$15.
If I'm not mistaken. Or there's another option. If maybe you're not an internet guru person, you can use your telephone. You can use your telephone to dial this number, 877-927-4917, 877-927-4917, and you can order a Trivia Friday shirt that way also.
Now, Walker, you said something kind of strange this is a radio show. You said some people are watching. How is that possible?
Yes, you can actually watch the radio show, and you can do so on Facebook. Visit our Today's Issues Facebook page. Also on YouTube, we are on YouTube as of about 3 weeks ago, so you can watch the show on YouTube by just typing in Today's Issues Live.
Now, don't get lost in the right-hand column on YouTube and wind up, you know, watching lions eat zebras or anything like that. So, all right, so that is the way this program works. We just have one rule, basically, and that is if you have called and gotten on the show in the last month, in the last 4 weeks, we just ask you to wait a week before trying to get on the show again. We want to try to give as many people as possible an opportunity to get on with us here on Trivia Friday. All right, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Your professors this week, Ed Vitagliano, J.J. Jasper, Walker Wildman. Walker, we'll let you go ahead and start, and we'll swing this away.
All right, and for those wondering, my father and my mother did land in Tel Aviv, Israel, as of about an hour ago.
Wonderful.
So they
got there safely, past all the weather.
There you go. And actually, every one of the attendees made it.
That's kind
despite
of the Lord, because that big nor'easter that was blowing in.
Yeah.
Two feet of snow in Massachusetts, more snow coming at the first of the week, Pennsylvania, yep. New York, all through there. They're getting hammered by, you're looking at somebody to blame, Punxsutawney Phil. Punxsutawney Phil. He said it was going to happen. So,
yep.
All right, here's my first question. Where did the sport of curling originate? That's my first question. Secondly, how many chambers are there in a dog's heart? How many chambers are there in a dog's heart? Maybe that's a veterinarian question. Lastly, General Motors was founded in which city? General Motors was founded in which city?
All right, here are my three questions. This first one's a little bit difficult, but if you're a Star Trek fan, you should know this. What registration number appears on the hull of the USS Enterprise in the Star Trek television series? What registration number appears on the hull of the USS Enterprise in the Star Trek television series? To make up for that being a hard question, here's an easy one. Not counting jokers, how many cards are in a standard deck of playing cards? Of course, we're not advocating gambling, okay? So, but how many cards are in a standard deck of playing cards? Third question, in what state was the 1969 music festival Woodstock held in? Those are my three questions.
Good questions. Here's what I've got. What is the name of the rabbit in the movie Bambi? What is the name of the rabbit in the classic movie Bambi? Second question, the Ohio River flows into what river? The Ohio River flows into what river? Third question, true or false? In honor of daylight saving time, which, by the way, is this weekend, don't forget to spring forward. This is true or false. More people get a speeding ticket the Monday following the spring time change than any other day of the year. Is that true or false?
Once again, that's a great question.
More people get a speeding ticket the Monday following the spring time change than any other day of the year. True or false?
True or false. See, your questions are so brilliant because as I try to figure that out, I'm going, well, I could see how that would be because people have got their clocks mixed up. But it's so obvious, maybe it isn't. So you got it. Got it going. All right, it is Trivia Friday. We're going to have Rhonda from Texas. She was a caller last week that we didn't get to. And so, Rhonda, are you there?
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, I am.
Good morning. Hey, have you been waiting since last Friday?
Yeah, I was kind of rough brushing my teeth and cooking and all that. But hanging on. No, I had a wonderful angel taking care of me.
All right. Well, good.
Rhonda, you win.
I'm pretty sure she worked for y'all.
You win the Tenacity Award. Thank you. Sorry we missed you last week. Do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Well, I want to both, but the reason for the hanging on and the tenacity is Tim made a challenge that if anybody could answer the navel orange problem, and I had that answer, and so he didn't put a time limit as to when I could get my T-shirt, but I still have the answer.
Give us that answer, and we'll honor that, but you'll be the last one to win. From that question.
Now, what was the question?
I don't even remember the question.
They
had a question about, he had a question about navel oranges and didn't have seeds. But then he added to it, he said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a T-shirt if anybody can answer how they do that.
It was actually my question, but then that was Tim's, how do they reproduce with no seeds?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that was last week.
And I was smart enough to know that it didn't have anything to do with belly button. But that's about as far as I could get on my pay grade.
All right, Rhonda, what's the answer?
Give us the answer.
Navel orange blossoms lack viable pollen and ovules, so all the fruits are seedless. This is why it cannot reproduce through seeds or pollinating other citrus trees. To propagate them, growers graft navel orange stock onto a different orange tree rootstock so that they can get the roots and grow.
So it's grafted in. Boy, as it's a Gentile, grafted. That just makes me excited.
Little Romans 11.
I'm just wondering how Noah kept it grafted and going on the, from the beginning.
I don't.
On the boat.
I wonder how he kept those woodpeckers from messing everything up. The termites. So we got a lot of things to ask the Lord when we make it to heaven.
That's right.
Hey, listen, you stay on the line because we want to get your address to send you a shirt. Thank you for that. Now, did you want to answer one of our questions that we have today?
Yes, I did. And I have a question for you.
Go right ahead.
Between the cards and the rabbit, let's try the rabbit.
Okay, Rhonda, what is the name of the rabbit in the movie Bambi?
Believe it or not, that's one movie I've never watched, but I'm pretty sure it's called Thumper.
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 That's right.
Correct.
Way to go. Well, what's your question for us? Well, great way to start us out.
By the way, we would have been in a real fix if she had answered the mystery question, too.
Oh, you're not kidding. That's right.
No, I would have passed it on.
Oh, you're sweet.
You are sweet.
What's your question for us?
Don't tell people I'm sweet. It ruins my reputation.
Okay.
My question is, I'm bringing up the dreaded praying mantis.
Oh, my. You are a regular.
Good.
Listener.
I love it. Okay.
Actually, I kind of gave away that part, but in Texas, we have another nickname for it.
For a praying mantis?
Be? Yes.
That's a really good question.
The hummingbird serial killer.
No, I'm going to go with JJ.
Something about the hummingbird murderer, that murdering praying mantis.
I don't have anything.
No.
Yeah, I think
stumped.
You got us. You got us, Rhonda.
Okay. It might be in other places, too, but I know in Texas it's called the devil's horse.
The devil's what?
Horse.
The devil's horse.
Riding horse.
Well, they are. Listen,
ride a horse.
If you've seen them up close, they are evil looking.
But you know, that's a long way for something praying. You know, we just went to the opposite end of the spectrum there. Hey, Rhonda, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Don't forget to change your clock.
Yeah, and we're going to put you on hold.
I will.
We're going to put you on hold to get your information, okay?
Well, thank y'all, and y'all have a very blessed day.
All right. All right. Well, hey, I think Rhonda was the angel. She was talking about an angel helped her, so that was
that's right.
That was great. All right.
Let's go now to Luke in Mississippi. Hello, Luke.
Hello.
Hey, Luke, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I would like to do both.
Which question you want to answer?
I would like to answer the one about the USS Enterprise.
All right. I knew we'd have some Trekkies out there, some Star Trek fans. Here's the question. What registration number appears on the hull of the USS Enterprise in the Star Trek television series?
NCC-1701.
That's right. Absolutely correct.
Now, how does anybody know that?
Listen, every Star Trek fan knows that. That's why I knew it wouldn't be that hard for them. And now you didn't have to look that up, right, Luke? I mean, you're a real for real fan.
I've seen it before, but I had to look it up.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, I didn't think it would be that hard for a Star Trek fan, but for people who don't watch it, obviously they would miss that. Excuse me. Excellent job, Luke. What's your question for us?
I have a multiple choice question.
Okay.
What is the Rubik's Cube world record solve time? A 4.59 seconds, B, 13.32 seconds, or C, 7.37 seconds.
I'm thinking 7 seconds. What about
seven
you guys?
7 seconds.
Four, just that doesn't
That's
even seem
fast.
Possible. But now there's some brilliant people out there.
But you're talking about even for just the
but just
physical.
To be able
physical
to spin it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just spin it four or five times,
I'm,
and you've gobbled
I'm good
up
with
a
that.
Few seconds.
I'll go with
about seven.
We'll go.
Seconds.
We'll go with the seven. Second answer.
Obviously,
JJ.
A guess.
Yeah. Luke?
Well, A was correct.
4 point something seconds?
4 point.
Do you know that guy's name? Because I need my taxes done before now on April the 15th, and I wouldn't mind giving him a call if he's reasonable.
That is incredible, Luke, because we were just talking about just the – I mean – forget about trying to figure out
right
how to move it to get it all to line up. And for most folks know what a Rubik's Cube is. It's the colored cube, and you got to get all the sides.
Spin all those sides. It would take me 4 seconds to look at it, pick it up off the desk, and sigh, and then say, okay, now let me get started. And I would gobble up those 4 seconds, just that maneuver.
Wow.
Hey, Luke, thanks. Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening to AFR.
Last time I had a Rubik's Cube, it took me about 4 minutes to unpeel all the stickers and reposition them.
I have never completely solved that. When it first came out, I was in high school or whatever.
Right.
I mean, I got pretty far along, but I'm just
Talk
not
about
spatially.
Frustrating.
I'm not spatially oriented to
you
where
get,
I can.
You get it all ready to roll, get it all fixed up. You're about two away from having it all done, and you move one and you mess up the whole
thing. Yeah, I know. Right. It's terrible.
Now, I'm like you on steroids because I've never attempted to do a Rubik's Cube.
Never.
When they came out and everybody grabbed them and they were just spinning.
Yeah.
And when I saw the sweat beating up on their forehead and saw the frustration, I thought, okay, I get intimidated looking at a checkerboard. But, so I really, you know.
Two colors.
Is this a one jump or a double jump? And that makes my brain hurt. So I don't even want to try something that I know I don't even have a,
That's wise, JJ.
Yeah, well, one in a million chance.
At some point, I just said, this is never going to happen.
That's right.
And I just never went back to it.
I can think a lot of other ways to waste my time. So for me, I never even tried it.
All right, where are we going next?
Let's go to Sam in Louisiana. Welcome to Trivia Friday, Sam.
Hey.
You want to ask, answer, or do both?
I like to do both.
All right. Before you answer one of ours, can you solve a Rubik's Cube in 4 seconds?
No. I threw that thing in the closet after like five.
You and a whole lot of other people, Sam. Hey, which question do you feel confident about?
Let's see, the ticket one.
Oh, the true or false?
Yeah.
Okay. With daylight saving time this weekend, here's my true or false question. More people get a speeding ticket the Monday following spring time change than any other day of the year. Is that true or false, Sam?
I'm going to go with false.
It is 100% false.
Really?
I made it up this morning.
Good job, Sam.
That is great.
Although, way to go, Sam. Although, I double-checked myself to make sure, I just made it up. And I thought, hey, it could be true.
Yeah.
Accidents go up and heart attacks go up the Monday following the spring – or the Sunday following the springtime change.
Really?
So accidents go up significantly. And so so be careful after – people are just sleepy and, they're running late. But I just made that up. Good job, Sam. What's your question for us?
The Sikorsky helicopter. There's a lot of things you can do, but – can it do a barrel roll?
A barrel roll.
What kind of helicopter?
Is he just talking about just a helicopter?
A Sikorsky helicopter. It's a huge helicopter.
Oh, the Sikorsky.
Yeah,
it's huge. Marines, Navy, and Air Force.
And yeah. I think that Sikorsky guy was instrumental. He was one of the pioneers of helicopters, helping to invent those.
Yeah.
And I think I read where, oddly enough, or bizarre enough, I think it can do a barrel roll.
But
I think somebody has done
normally
that.
They can't, right? Normally a helicopter can't?
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But I think I read in an aviation magazine where somebody did, in fact, do a barrel roll.
All right. I'm going to go. You're our aviator, so I'm going to go
with JJ.
We'll go with JJ, Sam.
Yeah, it did. And it actually did a loop-de-loop, too.
Yeah, the guys that were flying, they got coffee all over themselves from head to toe.
Yeah.
But they did prove a point.
No, but normally, though, a helicopter, you don't.
You can look at the way they're designed and know they're not made for snap rolls or barrel rolls or even
a loop-de-loop.
And a loop-de-loop,
which is to go up and over, head over tail kind of thing.
Yeah, and that probably the first one that happened was by accident. Hey, Sam, have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
You too.
All right, let's see what time we got. Let's reset our questions
here. I got a couple of lessons in a helicopter, and listening to the way it was just pounding the air and shaking the whole cockpit. Somebody I read, where they said they don't actually fly. They just beat the air into submission. And I mean, the way it was just beating and just shaking, I thought, boy, this thing is. And it was a nice one, and it was just bone jarring. So,
wow.
Yeah, they're just they're a different kind of bird.
Mm.
That's a brave person to intentionally barrel roll.
When it's never been done before.
Yeah, you don't know whether it's going to cut out and you're going to plummet to your
death. Guy that did that, his great-great-grandmother went over the Niagara Falls in a barrel.
In the barrel.
So that was
did a loop-de-loop,
it was
too,
just
so.
In his. It was heredity is an interesting thing.
I saw what you did there, the barrel roll. Yeah. That's great. Let's reset our questions, and we'll try to fit a question or two in before the break.
All right. Where did the sport of curling originate? Secondly, how many chambers are there in a dog's heart? Lastly, General Motors was founded in which city? General Motors was founded in which city?
All right, here are my, I have two questions remaining. I'll add a third. Not counting jokers, how many cards are in a standard deck of playing cards? Second question, in what state was the 1969 music festival Woodstock held in? And here's the question I'll add. I like doing these if you've been listening the last several weeks. Chocoholic is a blend of what two words? Chocoholic is a blend of what two words?
Here's what I've got. The Ohio River flows into what river? The Ohio River flows into what river? And I'll add a couple. What significant beverage did John Pemberton invent in Atlanta in 1886? What significant beverage did John Pemberton invent in Atlanta in 1886? My third question, a new question, which major league pitcher totaled the most strikeouts during both the 1970s and the 1980s?
Wow.
Which pitcher, major league pitcher, totaled the most strikeouts during both the 1970s and the 1980s?
Wow, that's a great question. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Our old friend,
Todd
AJ.
From North Carolina. Hello, Todd.
Well, good morning to the university.
It's been a few weeks since you've won a T-shirt, so we're ready if you are.
Ask,
answer, or do both, Todd.
I would like to do both.
Which question you want to answer?
I'm going to answer Ed's question about the 1969 Music Festival.
All right. In what state was the 1969 Music Festival Woodstock held in?
New York.
New York is correct.
Good job.
Nice.
Excellent job.
All right. What's your obscure Bible question for us? We're ready to go deep into the weeds.
All right. Well, my question is this. This is coming from the New Testament. In what book of the New Testament do we read the words for the first time, the revelation of Jesus Christ?
The for the first time? All right,
yes.
We're going to talk amongst ourselves here, Todd, so don't say yes or nay.
Knee-jerk, you would think.
That's what I'm thinking.
The book of
tricky.
Revelation. But now I wonder if maybe the book of Acts, I wonder if it's a little bit in the heading there when it starts talking about here's what, you know, I wonder if Luke was saying here. Here are these accounts in the revelation of Jesus Christ. I sort of skimmed through that when they're saying, say hello to Phoebe, this one and that one.
Yeah. Man, I just don't know. I mean, like you said, first knee-jerk reaction is the book of Revelation.
I'm going to go with Acts. Just, you know, everybody maybe can have a different answer.
Okay. What are you going to say? I'm going to...
My instinct is it's not in Revelation. It's
because so it'd be so obvious.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say I think it may be during the Transfiguration, on the Mount of Transfiguration. There might be some wording in the Greek that says that. I'm not sure which book would be the first, but I'm just going to go
you're
with that.
Say one of the Gospels.
Yeah, one of the Gospels. What do you think?
I agree. I'll go with that.
All right. We're a little bit scattered, Todd.
We're all over the place, Todd. This is a great question.
It is. What's the answer?
It actually comes from the book of Galatians, and it's Galatians chapter 1, verse 12.
Read the verse for us. Do you have it in front of you?
No, I don't. Essentially, to paraphrase, it's like Paul says, you know, that he wasn't taught the gospel by men or from men, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Hey, we learned something.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Todd. Thank you for your love for Scripture, and thank you for your love for AFR. Have a great weekend, my friend.
You too.
All right, folks, we are going to take a short break. You are listening to Trivia Friday here on American Family Radio. J.J. Jasper, Walker Wildman, Ed Vitagliano are your professors. The number to call if you want to get on the show, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840.
Dear Diary, Todd did not win a Learning University T-shirt.
Back in a few.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. and you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Well, September weather in Washington, D.C. is generally very, very nice. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Our June tour sold out. We've only got seats left for our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and George Washington's Mount Vernon. Now, for all the information on this trip, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. We're also going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So if you want to do that tour as well, all the information, again, is available at spiritualheritagetours.com. Those trips, Williamsburg and Washington, are back-to-back. We're going to have a wonderful time with listeners from all over the country to American Family Radio on our Spiritual Heritage Tour in September. Again, for all the information, go to our website, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. A California Democrat wants to outlaw drinking straws. Assemblyman Ian Calderon has introduced a bill that would ban sit-down restaurants from offering customers a straw unless the customer specifically requested one. Under Mr. Calderon's proposed law, any waiter who serves a drink with an unrequested straw would face up to 6 months in jail and a fine upwards of $1,000. The Los Angeles Times editorial board supports the legislation. They say that repetitive straw sucking may cause or exacerbate wrinkles on the lips. Now, I wish I could tell you this is a great big farce, but it's not. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a tremendous learning opportunity for the rest of the nation. This is what happens when a supermajority of Democrats takes control of state government. It's a nanny state on steroids. First, they outlaw straws, and before you know it, they're going to try to criminalize sporks. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Trump administration cracking down on California anarchy? Hello, I'm Walker Wildman, host of Exposing Washington on the American Family Radio Network. That's what we'll be discussing this weekend, some good news coming out of Washington, D.C. when it comes to illegal immigration. You can tune in Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
All right, that's good.
Sorry, I was thrown off. I was trying to read the... read the ID number on the hole instead of listen to the music.
That really got under your skin, didn't it? You didn't like that.
That's amazing that anybody knows that.
Yeah. That was, I actually can sing that song. I can get
would,
up that.
Would you do
I
that?
Get, I can
yeah,
get up
please,
that high.
Please,
well,
please
but
do
it. It'd be showing off to do that, right now. So,
hey, you're talking about showing off a couple days ago on my morning music radio show. I said, I don't mean to brag, but the other day, I actually walked into another room and remembered why I went in there. Now, young people don't get that. Baby boomers understand completely.
And just about all baby boomers are starting to get it if they hadn't gotten it 5 years ago. That happens. Listen, the other day, my wife and I both came into the living room, and neither one of us could remember what
no,
we were in there
did
for.
Not. Yes. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
That's just...
Hey, what are you doing in here? No. What are you doing in here?
All right, folks. It is Trivia Friday. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. If you want to get on this here show, J.J. Jasper, Walker Wildman, Ed Vitagliano. We are your professors today. Let's go right back to the phones after our break.
Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Ruth. Hello, Ruth.
Good morning, brothers. God is most incredible. How are y'all doing?
We're doing.
I was going to mess with Tim. This is Brother Ed and JJ and Walker, right?
Yes.
I was going to mess with Tim and call him Timmy this morning, if it was there, but I'm so grateful they made it to Israel. I heard it's your turn now, Brother Don's program this morning. He used to call him Timmy.
Right.
Anyway, talking about the Rubik's Cube.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
Guys, that can cause OCD.
I think you're right, Ruth. Hey, Ruth, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'm going to do both. Let's go with Jesus first. Y'all probably know this, but, you know, there was a sign posted up above Jesus on the cross. What languages was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, written in? It was written in three languages.
All right, we're gonna talk amongst ourselves, Ruth, so don't say yes or no.
It was Aramaic. It was Greek. And was it Hebrew?
I think it was Latin?
I know
it was Latin.
I know it was Aramaic and Greek.
Yeah,
those
two. I think
two.
Latin.
Okay,
the
let's
last
go
one.
With that.
We're going to go Aramaic, Greek, and Latin?
Sure.
All right.
Well,
how was
y'all
that?
Were close. It was Hebrew, Latin, and Greek.
Hebrew, Latin, and Greek.
Good.
All right. Well, that's
nice. My mother wanted me to take Latin in high school. I couldn't take Spanish. I had to take Latin.
I had to take Latin in junior high school and high school. And it was hard.
Hey, be glad you guys went to school where you did. I had to take Pig Latin. And that is an easy A, but how can you ever use it?
Right.
Hey, Ruth.
Well, it did help me in my nursing. Yes, it did some, but really to this day, no, I didn't ever speak Latin. So, yeah, hey, Pig Latin.
Well, Ruth, which one of our questions do you want to answer?
Well, I was going to answer. I love the movie Bambi, but the lady answered that one, Thumper. So I'm going to answer about the card decks.
Here's the question. Not counting jokers, how many cards are in a standard deck of playing cards?
I believe it's 52, counting the jokers.
It is. You got
Way
it.
To
you
go,
got it.
Ruth. Wow. Way to go,
52.
Ruth.
Hey,
Ruth.
Y'all have a blessed day. I love all y'all. I keep my radio on just about 24/7.
Thank you, Ruth. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Don't forget to spring forward and change your clock Saturday night.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's always and I'm preaching Sunday, so I'm especially nervous. I'm going to put signs up. I don't want to be the one late.
Exactly. You know, and with you preaching, you sure don't want to be the one late.
Yeah.
Let's go to Texas, where Orban is on the line. Hello, Orban.
Well, good morning, professors. How are y'all doing this morning?
We're blessed, Orban. How about you and yours?
I am also blessed. Thank you.
You want to ask, answer, or do both, sir?
I would like to try both.
Which one you want to answer?
Okay. I don't know if I've ever seen a curling rink in Texas. Maybe there is. But in Alaska, they were very popular. And I never had seen one up to that point. And I thought, that is a weird thing. So I'd like to try the curling.
All right, Orban, here's my question. Where did the sport of curling originate?
Okay, I don't think it was Alaska, even though that's the only place I've ever seen a curling rink. I think it originated in Scotland.
That is correct.
Whoa!
Good
wow.
job, Orban. You just won you a Trivia Friday T-shirt. How did you know that?
Happy, 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 happy.
You know, that was your question, and if it was mine, I would have added, and how much scotch was involved in the creation of that strange game?
I don't drink the scotch. I'm not drinking booze. I don't drink.
Good.
Well, that's
and
good.
I don't either. Hey, listen, way to go on that. Make sure and stay on the line, Orban, so we can get your address and send you a Learning University T-shirt. For those of you that don't win, you can get yours at afastore.net. Fun T-shirt. Great way to help the ministry. $15 for the
right.
T-shirt.
That's right.
Hey, Orban, what's your question for us?
I've been longing for a long time for one of those shirts to wear to Walmart and go around, parade it around. Thank you, guys.
Well,
yes,
hey,
sir.
You did all the hard work by answering the question. Good job. What's your question for us, Orban?
Okay, your question from me is, we certified auctioneers bear an honorary title, and there's a two-part question to it. Why do we bear an honorary title, and what is the name of it? Over.
Okay, so you're an auctioneer.
Yeah, I wonder if it's Colonel.
Okay, hang on. We're going to talk amongst ourselves, Orban. Huh?
You're correct. You got it.
Wow.
JJ got it.
How did you know that, Colonel?
It was just sort of
rattling around.
Yeah, mostly a guess and just rattling around a little bit.
Okay. Wow, Colonel. Now,
and the second part of that is, why do we marry the honorary title of Colonel?
Okay, now, this is another far-fetched guess, but in Kentucky, the highest non-military rank you can get is a Kentucky Colonel. And it's an honorary title,
yeah.
And I don't know much about honorary titles, but I'm just going to say it has something to do with coming from Kentucky.
Well, we're going with the hot hand here.
Yes.
Is that true?
I'm gonna have to give that to you, but the answer that I have always heard was it bears back to the Civil War when Army colonels were in charge of disposing of all the excess cannons and mules and all that, so it's carried over and it's put on our title when we graduate from an auctioneer college, Colonel.
Oh. Hey, that's real good.
That's fascinating.
Well, that's why we're here, for people to learn that. That is
yeah.
very interesting. Orban, thank you so much. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Stay on the line, Orban. We're going to put you on hold, and Cindy Roberts will get your information, and we will get your Trivia Friday T-shirt out to you ASAP, okay?
Thank you very, very much.
All right. I like hearing that kind of enthusiasm for the Trivia Friday T-shirt. Excellent. All right, let's go ahead and reset our questions. I'm going to have to add some, so let's go ahead and do that now.
All right. How many chambers are there in a dog's heart? I'm sure many of you might know that one. Secondly, General Motors was founded in which city? And it's not the city you might think. Lastly, this is a technician question. In most modern vehicles, the carburetor has been replaced with what?
Good. Great questions. All right. My three questions are, chocoholic is a blend of what two words? Chocoholic is a blend of what two words? Here are two questions I'm going to add. A true-false question. Napoleon was considered short for his time. Is that true or false? And the third question, what NBA team has the most championships? What NBA team has the most championships?
Great questions. When Walker was talking about the carburetor, I heard the joke where the woman called her husband. She said, you know, I'm having car trouble. And she said, I think it's, you know, he said, well, what's going on? She said, well, there's water in the carburetor. And he thought, my wife doesn't know anything about mechanics. She said, why would you even say something like that? She crashed through the neighbor's fence and the car was in the pool.
So there was water
there
in the carburetor.
Water.
There was water in the glove compartment.
That's exactly right. Here's my questions. The Ohio River flows into what river? The Ohio flows into what river? Second question, what significant beverage did John Pemberton invent in Atlanta in 1886? Third question, which major league pitcher totaled the most strikeouts during both the 1970s and the 1980s.
Wow. All right, where do we go?
Let's go to Kansas next, where Rachel's on the line. Hi, Rachel.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
Pretty good. How are you?
We're doing well. Hey, do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I would like to do both. And before I answer, I would like to throw out a comment from last week's show when you guys were discussing the difference between a quarter horse and a thoroughbred.
Yes.
A thoroughbred is like the fastest breed of horse, but a quarter horse is like, it's called a quarter horse because it has the fastest, it can sprint a quarter mile the fastest of any kind of horse.
Oh, is that right?
And usually they're used for like rodeos and cattle horses and just kind of general riding, while thoroughbreds are usually more for racing.
Okay, okay. That's great. Thanks. But a thoroughbred will always be a quarter horse as well?
No, they're two different breeds of horses.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Rachel.
They're completely distinctive, different breeds.
Okay. So which question of ours do you want to answer?
The one about Napoleon.
All right. True false question. Napoleon was considered short for his time. Is that true or false?
That's false. Like, he was in Europe at that point, he would have been average height, if not taller.
That's absolutely correct. Everyone Everyone thinks that Napoleon was short for his time, but he was 5'7", which was tall for France at that time, but very close to the average. Excellent job. Now, did you look that up, or did you just know that?
I think I heard it in high school history class.
Yeah.
A long time ago. I don't remember, honestly. I remember hearing it, but
okay.
I'm not sure where.
Well, see, great. Today being payday, I thought you meant he didn't have much money.
Hey, listen, I'd like to pay you back the money I owe you, but I'm short.
I'm a little bit short. Little now, short. Now that you've wrecked us on that history faux pas, now are you going to tell us he didn't keep one hand inside of his jacket at all times?
Well, actually, the reason back then a lot of people were painted with their hands inside their jacket or, like, tucked behind their back was because painters had a hard time getting hands to look right in paintings, so they'd either have it, like, tucked in their jacket or behind their back. Hmm.
You know, Rachel, if I was ever in playing that old game Trivial Pursuit, I would want you on my team.
For a lifeline. If you ever make it onto one of the game shows.
That's right. You just are a font of knowledge.
Rachel, what's your question for us?
Okay, my question is, during World War II, there was a series of exercises that were conducted on the southern coast of Great Britain. It was top secret. It was called Operation Tiger. And one of them, kind of after it happened, once they kind of declassified all the information from it, became rather famous because it ended in disaster. What was Operation Tiger, and what happened that this one particular exercise ended in disaster?
Here's the deal. I was not in the military, but I do know about exercise. Now, what you're talking about there, they started their day with some jumping jacks. Then they did some push-ups. And then they had some pull-ups. And that right there was a whole lot of the reason why we were successful in all of those campaigns and all those battles of the Bulge and any other kind of battle that you want. Exercise will make the Battle of the Bulge go down. And it's going to make you live longer and do better in any kind of battle.
Well, listen.
Rachel, did you say during the Civil War?
No,
World War II.
I have no idea.
Stumped.
I'm going with the old codger that just spoke. I've got nothing better to offer than that, Rachel. What's the real? What was Operation Tigers?
It was actually a series of full scale rehearsals for D-Day.
Oh,
so, like,
wow!
They had like live ammunition and like actual artillery shells and stuff like that. And this one particular exercise was a rehearsal for landing on Utah Beach. And it went totally wrong because they moved their, like the time that's supposed to take place, they moved it back an hour. But there's a miscommunication between the Navy and the infantry commanders are like going onto the beach. So the Navy shelled the beach while the like infantry were like going onto the beach, so a whole bunch of people are killed that way.
Oh my! Wow.
And then there were German U-boats that were patrolling the English Channel nearby, and they, I believe they sunk several of the
practice
landing
boats.
Craft.
Yeah.
And then they damaged a couple of the Navy ships, and I think altogether about 700 people died. It was totally, since it was for D-Day, it was totally and completely top secret until after the war. And it was actually because they made those mistakes during Operation Tiger that D-Day was so successful, because they knew kind of like what not to do when they actually had the D-Day invasion.
Yeah. Wow. And not shelling your own troops is a good place to start.
Yeah.
Wow. That would
well, and you know what made it extra rough was those high seas, those rough water. You know, so many were seasick, and it was just a, boy, that was just the Lord that they were able to be as successful as they were. Hey, thank you, Rachel. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
She is so smart. Man, I can tell she loves history.
Maybe we can make her, you know, like a substitute professor
sometime.
She'd
be a good one.
Give her an honorary doctorate.
All right, where do we go next?
Let's talk to Leanne from Georgia. Hello, Leanne.
Good morning, professors.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I have listened to y'all's show for years, and it always cracks me up, but I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
So this is the first time you tried to get on, and you were successful.
No, actually, I have to confess, I got through one other time, but I got nervous and hung up.
Oh, hey, I got nervous. Oh, there's nothing to be nervous about.
Thank you for being honest, because, there's people that have done that sort of thing before. Yeah. And
you know, I walked out of the studio last week because I got a little nervous.
You got nervous.
I'm kidding. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Hey, Leanne, ask, answer, or do both?
I would like to do both, please.
Which question you want to answer?
I believe it was JJ's question about John Pemberton.
Yes, ma'am. Here's the question. What significant beverage did John Pemberton invent in Atlanta in 1886?
That was what went on to become known as Coca-Cola.
Yes.
Wow.
Coca-Cola. And I dug a little deep on this, and I couldn't stop. I kept going layer after layer. He actually invented it in Columbus, but took it to Atlanta, and they started using it. And I never knew. I knew John Pemberton, and I knew Coca-Cola started in Atlanta. But he actually was a lieutenant colonel in the Civil War. He got stabbed with a saber in the Battle of Columbus, and he got addicted to morphine. And he was a pharmacist. A lot of people know that. A pharmacist invented Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. But he was a really good chemist, and he was trying to find something to help him get off of morphine.
Huh.
And so he used this cocoa and used something from a plant that grows in Alaska, and he invented something, this syrup, and then it went on to become Coca-Cola. Wow. Huh. But all the other I'd never even heard of before.
I didn't know any of that.
I could have used that for true or false down
that.
The road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you still can.
And because he was going broke because of his morphine addiction, he sold out the patent. He just sold it for nearly nothing to the guys that took and ran with Coca-Cola.
You know, I don't have an inventive mind in terms, you know, some people can invent stuff all day. They always come up with great ideas. But if I could invent something, that's what would happen to me. I would just go, this is like, I would sell it for nothing.
Right.
Because that's just the way, that's just what, just the way the Vitagliano luck, or whatever you want to call it, goes.
Here's what you can come up with. Come up with the opposite word for entrepreneur.
Yes.
And then you can coin that and I can say, Ed Vitagliano invented that word.
Somebody was talking about Bitcoins to me one time and I said, well, listen, because they were excited about the possibilities. I know nothing about it, whether it's good or bad or whatever. And I said, well, I'm going to do you a favor. I am not going to start buying Bitcoins because that is a sure guarantee that the bottom will drop out of it. So I'm going to do you a solid and not get into it.
Oh, that's good. So. Hey, Leanne, good job on answering that. And what's your question for us?
Okay, my question for y'all goes back several months ago. Ed asked a question regarding the Secret Service and code names that they give the presidents. I don't know if that rings a bell.
I think somebody did. I don't think that was me. Okay. But anyway, go ahead.
I thought it was Ed. Okay, so my question for y'all is, what U.S. president has had two different code names from the Secret Service, and what were those two code names?
He had two.
Two code names.
Well, now, I know Abraham Lincoln had Crazy Hat. You know, that was, but probably they don't even probably remember that.
All right, now, Leanne, we're going to talk amongst ourselves here, so don't say yes or no.
Okay.
I'm guessing it has to be somebody who was president, but not president consecutively. It was two terms.
That's a good idea.
So if you're consecutive, I think they give you keep the same code
keep
name.
It going.
This would be somebody who was president, then was not president, then was president again. And I think.
Well, I'll give you a hint. One of them, he was not president when he had this code name.
Okay, now here's what she's
told
us.
Would he have been a vice
governor?
President?
No, he was governor, maybe, and had. Oh, no, but he wouldn't have had the Secret Service.
Would he be a vice president?
Vice president. Let's go with the first Bush.
All right,
because
Bush
he was
41?
Vice president and then president, and so he would have maybe had that
okay.
One name as vice president.
We'll go with that. George H.W. Bush, Bush 41.
Okay, that may be true, but what I'm referring to was actually George W. Bush, because as the son, when his father was president, he was given a code name because all the family members are. And then also when he became president, his code name was changed. And the two code names are, as the son, his code name was Tumblr, and as the president, his code name was Trailblazer.
Tumblr and Trailblazer.
I like those.
Yeah.
That's sort of like a CB handle, but better.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want to be Crazy Squirrel or something like that, you know, or Bug Eyes. You know, but both of those sound very manly. Tumblr and Trailblazer. I like that.
That's excellent. Man, I love that, Leanne. Now, is that something you just have an interest in, or did you look up something special just to ask us, or what?
No, that when you had that question several months ago about the same thing, my sister used to, now she's an inspector general for the Department of Homeland Security.
Wow.
But she was a Secret Service agent for about 10 or 11 years. And so I texted her up, and I was trying to get the answer to whatever your question was. I don't remember exactly what it was now. And so then that led to the conversation. And so she actually gave me that question to ask regarding the George W. Bush code name. So
that's excellent.
Ask that question.
Well, it sounds like you got some brains in your family, and thank you for your service to our country. Very interesting. Thank you, Leanne. God bless you, and thanks for listening to AFR.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, let's see if we can get one more question in here.
Rodney from Texas. Howdy.
Good morning.
How are you?
How are y'all today? Doing well.
We're doing well. Hey, Rodney, ask, answer, or do both?
We'll do both.
Which one you want to answer?
How about the one on the carburetor?
All right, that's my question. Very good, a very interesting one. In most modern vehicles, the carburetor has been replaced with what?
Electronic fuel injectors.
That is correct.
Nicely
done. Good job, Rodney.
Rodney, here's the deal. One of the worst things I ever done was take me a little bit of sandpaper and a file and try to file down the points in that fuel injector. Found out pretty quick there ain't no points in there. And the mechanic bill wound up being about triple what it would have been if I had taken it there the first time. So I tried to file the points in that dude.
Yeah.
So Rodney's going, yeah, you don't want to do that.
Hey, Rodney, what's your question for us?
All right. On the television show, The Beverly Hillbillies, one of y'all's favorites, I think.
Yeah, we like it.
When they first moved into the mansion in Beverly Hills, they discovered that they had a swimming pool, but they didn't call it a swimming pool. What?
All right, Rodney, we're going to talk amongst ourselves here, so don't say.
It was the concrete swimming hole or something like that. Cement pond.
Cement pond.
Yeah, that's it.
Right. That's it.
Cement
that's
pond.
It. Cement pond.
And they used those pool cues for those pot passers. Yeah.
The pot. I forgot about
that. That was different. That was on their dining room table.
Yeah, dining room table.
Which is their felt covered.
Yeah.
Well, Brent Creeley gave us the cement pond.
We got some help. We used a lifeline. Hey, Rodney, you remember the days when we had to sand the points, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Points and plugs.
You had to use a little emery board. Would work real good if you didn't have the sandpaper.
Emery board.
Go to your mom's.
Yeah, little piece of sandpaper.
Emery board you'd use on her.
And to set the points, you could just open up a matchbook cover, and that would at least get you home if you use that to gauge the points.
Well, I remember when someone had to sand the points, but it wasn't me. but I could change them and use the. Hey, Rodney, before I embarrass myself anymore, thank you, brother. Have a good weekend.
All right, y'all too. Y'all are blessings to us out here. I'm on the highway.
Thank you, Rodney.
I drive a truck for a living.
All right, be safe.
Careful. Yeah,
be safe out there.
And don't get a ticket the Monday following. That was not true.
That was false. All right, folks, it is Trivia Friday. We're going to take a 5-minute break for news. When we come back, J.J. Jasper, Walker Wildman, Ed Vitagliano, we are your professors. Class will continue in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.